that we tend to focus on, because that seems to be the thing that in our society that produces wealth, happiness, and sustains our life. Money can buy medicine, but we also find out that money does not buy health. Money can buy a house, but it does not buy a home. Money can buy companionship, but it cannot buy friends. Money can buy entertainment, but not happiness. Money buys food, but not an appetite. Money can buy a bed, but not sleep. Money can buy a crucifix, but not salvation. Money can buy a good life, but not eternal life. I came across this little saying about women. Oh, bad idea, isn't it? Yeah, all the women are looking at me already. But it's a good point. You can get to me later. But from birth to 18, a girl needs a good parent. From 18 to 35, she thinks she needs good looks. From 35 to 55, she needs a good personality. And from 55 on, she needs cash. All the way to old age. The one thing we find out about money and we find out about possessions is, if we're not careful, we say we own the possessions, but the possessions actually own us. The more you have, the more opportunity there is for things to break. And you have to put more into it in order for it to work. I was at an auction probably about a year ago, and this particular auctioneer had a whole pallet filled with televisions. And they were returns to a particular store, but he had maybe 20 pallets of televisions out there. And I even thought about bidding on it. I figured if it goes low enough, I might bid on it, take a chance, see if they work. I think out of all those pallets, maybe two or three televisions actually work. And I thought to myself, I said, how much money would it take to get these TVs going again? You see, when something breaks and you own it, you got to fix it or throw it away and get a new one. You remember when fixing a car might cost less than $100? Not anymore. Have you ever replaced a fuel pump in your vehicle and had somebody else to do it? You're looking pretty close to $1,000. Brakes, if you have someone else do it, you're looking at $100, if not more. To keep those items going costs money, and in some respects you become a slave to that instead of you the master of those items. So who really owns all these things? We think we do because we purchased them, but the one thing I have found out as I'm getting older is I own absolutely nothing. Oh, the house might have my name on the deed, but if I don't pay my taxes, someone else that supersedes me is going to take my house. I think I might own my bank account, but when I die, it ain't going with me. You heard about the three individuals that befriended an old miser. And the old miser was on his deathbed. One was a banker, the other one was a lawyer, the other one was a pastor. And the old miser looked at him and said, I just want to let you know that when I die, there's $30,000 in my bank account. And I want all three of you to go and to take that money out and to put that money in my coffin with me. And the banker stood up and said, well, after the man died, they took the money, they divvied it up. The banker stood up and says, well, I have to confess that I took that $10,000 and I knew somebody that needed it, so I invested and I gave it to that person in need. The pastor stood up and says, I must confess as well. Says, we were having a major building project at the church and I took that money and I gave it to the church because it could be used. The lawyer stood up and smiled, and he says, well, I have to confess as well. I took that money, and then I wrote a check and put it in the coffin with him. You see, he ain't going to take it with you. He ain't going to take it with you. So who really owns these things? Well, let's ask the question. Who made the sun, the moon, and the earth? God did. Who made the elements that are in the earth? God did. Who made the iron ore that we use to make our metals with? Who made that? God did. Who gave us the knowledge in our brains to be able to manufacture these items? God did. Who gives us the energy in order to melt these elements down and to shape them into the tools that we use today? God did. Who gave us the bodies in which to enjoy these tools? God did. God made it. And if God made it, guess who owns it? God owns it. Here's a very, very interesting. An automobile, I should ask Jim this question because he works for General Motors. Is Jim in here? Is he gone? He's gone. Okay. How many parts are in an automobile? All of them. Yeah. How many parts are in an automobile? Over 30,000 parts are in an automobile. Okay. All right. How many cells are in a human body? All of them. No. How many cells? So we have this automobile that we're driving around, has 30,000 parts in it. How many cells in the human body? Do not look at your phones. I'll give you a hint. The national debt is not there yet. 37.2 trillion cells are in the human body. And yet God made them, and God, so who owns it? God owns it. See, that's what we really need to get in our brains here, is that God owns everything. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 14, it says, behold, to the Lord your God belongs the heavens and the earth with all that's in it. I put too many lines in there. So who owns everything? God owns it. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, it says, all the earth is mine. That's God speaking here. Job 41, 11. Who is the first given to me? I shall repay them. Whatever is under the whole heavens is mine. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell in it. Psalm 24, 12. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fulfillment are mine. Psalm 24, 26, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, that you are not your own? So who owns you? God does. I know that's strange because we're saying, well, ownership is slave. You know what? God created you. He created all that there is. So, who is the master or should be the master of your life? It should be God. So, as Christians, the key to discipleship is to give back to God that which he rightfully owns. And how do we do that is we line up our lives in the way that God intended. So, there's four principles I want us to talk about today as it relates to the ownership of who owns what, and our stewardship of that. So let's look at those today. Number one, as Christians, we need to get in our brains that everything is the Lord's. We need to change our mindset from mine to his. I know that's hard because we bought them, we paid for them, we worked for them, and now they're ours, and we can use them any way we want. No, God really owns it. So we change our mindset from the universe to the universe is the Lord's, the earth is the Lord's, our country is the Lord's, our body is the Lord's, our house is the Lord's, our business is the Lord's, our children belong to God, our bank account belongs to God, our car belongs to God, our house belongs to the Lord, your time is the Lord's, your children are the Lord's, your body is the Lord's, and your marriage is the Lord's. And that's hard because we want to be in charge of our own life. Let me illustrate this way. A couple months ago, maybe about 4 or 5 months ago, we had someone from Eastern Ohio that was traveling through the area, and he stopped by at the church. He actually was riding a Greyhound bus, and he got off at the Van Wert. I don't know where you can get off of Van Wert, but you can get off of Van Wert. Where at? At the roadside? Brookside. Okay. So he got off Van Wert. The reason why he got off of Van Wert is because there's people under the bus that was talking about him in the luggage compartment. You got it? So he got off the bus and he walked all the way down to Mount Tabor. He was on 127. He came into the office and we talked for a little bit and he told me his story and everything else. So, and he was going to Oregon. I said, well, first of all, you're going the wrong direction. Oregon is that way, okay? And you're going to Florida. I said, so we need to get you back on the bus. I said, so how are we going to get you on the bus? He says, I don't know. So I got on the internet and I looked up where the Greyhound bus station. There's two in the area. Anybody know where they are? One is Van Wert. The other, where? Oh, yeah, there's one in Lima. There's one in Fort Wayne, but there's another one. Decatur. I didn't know it. Did you know there's a Greyhound bus station in Decatur? Maybe I dropped him off and I shouldn't have. Okay. So I dropped him off and ran. Anyway, so I sat there and I said, okay, we need to get you to Decatur. I didn't want to take him to Van Wert because Van Wert's where he had the people were talking to him. So we took him to Decatur. The whole time I'm driving, I'm saying, this is the Lord's car. 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 God, I don't know if this guy's got something in his backpack. I don't know. It's the Lord's car. It's cool. I'm on the phone with my pastor's friends the whole way saying, hey, can you come and help me? None of them would answer the phone. Fortunately, he fell asleep and I dropped him off. The key is it's the Lord's car and the Lord's gas. See what I'm saying? You change the mindset that God has all these tools, and he gave them to you. And what do you use with these tools? You use them to glorify and honor God with them. And if God calls them up to be used, it's the change of a mindset from, I don't know if my car can handle this because I got, I don't know, I don't know, to, this is what God wants me to do. It's his tool. He called it up. Here we go. Got it? Okay. So that's the mindset we're talking about. Everything belongs to the Lord, and he's the one that can call it up at any time to be used for his glory. Principle number two, everything we own is the Lord's. Mentally transfer that ownership back to the original owner. If God created the heavens and the earth and God is the creator of all things, he has the right to say what can be done with them, right? And he has the right to determine how they are to be used. Okay. So, mentally transfer. So that bank account is the Lord's bank account. That dollar that's in your pocket is the Lord's dollar. Your car is the Lord's car. Your house is the Lord's house. I mean, all of that. Now, it may be more than just saying, well, somebody's coming to my house and needs a place to stay, therefore I'm going to let them stay there. But I think the real ownership comes from this. You ready? You ready? I'm going to line my house up the way God wants. That's the key. I'm going to drive my car the way God wants. Now, I'm not talking about putting bumper stickers on the car that says, honk if you love Jesus. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that everything that we own, we use for the glory of God. And sometimes the glory of God isn't something magnificent and spectacular. It's just lining it up the way that he wants. Your children, you raise them in the way that God wants you to raise them. Your marriage, you're a husband the way God wants you to be a husband. Or you're a wife the way the wife wants to be a wife towards the husband. Now, I don't hear this much anymore, and I'm glad. But when I first started the ministry, I had a number of people come up to me and I'd say, so why aren't your children coming to church? And they said, well, they don't want to, and I think they should be able to make their own decision. Really? Really? That's not the way God intended it to be. But they don't want to come. So? If you really love your kids, you're going to be concerned about their spiritual well-being and their spiritual salvation. That statement basically told me that God and Jesus are not important. Because you're going to make time for that which is important. I know it's a struggle. Trust me, parents. I know that. I've been through that. I've been there. But you're a pastor. Really? Do you think my kids are any different? You know how many times I use the excuse, well, we're pastor kids. And I said, so what? I was a pig farmer kid. So? Welcome to life. But if Jesus is really important in your life, you're gonna reflect that to your children. Now they have choices when they get old enough. Trust me on this one. That's their choice. But I believe that you lay the foundation for them. Okay. I'm on off that high horse. Principle number 3. We are called to be stewards of God's world. Okay? John Wesley says, when the professor of heaven and earth brought you into being and placed you in this world, he placed you here not as a proprietor, but as a steward. Stewardship means that I'm lining my life up and I'm managing God's treasures, God's way, for his purpose, for his glory. So the question is what can I do to bring greatest glory and honor to God? It really boils down to this, how you treat others. You can drive down the road with all the honk, honk if you love, honk, all the honk if you love Jesus signs you want, but if you're not displaying Christ on I-75. I mean, you know, people don't care how much you know. They want to know how much you care. Matthew 25, verse 40 says, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine and sisters of mine, you did it unto me. A number of years ago, about 30 some odd years ago, there was a hurricane that hit Jamaica. Devastating, Category 4. And my church decided that we were going to have a clothing drive and a food drive, and we were going to take it to Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, and they were going to put it in a box, and they were going to send it to Jamaica. And I told the people in the church, I said, now, I want you to understand, this is a tropical country. We don't need sweaters. We don't need coats. Do you want to know how many coats and sweaters I got? You want to know how many dirty pieces of underwear I got? I'm serious. I was ashamed. Whatever you do to the least of these brothers of mine, you've done them unto me. So you basically said, Jesus, you're worth this dirty piece of underwear. It really changed my perspective on some of this. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with giving used clothing. I mean, I was raised on it. My kids were raised on it. Don't get me wrong with that. But when we give stuff that is, you can barely put on the body because it's so ratty. Have you ever thought about, here's a nice little thought. Have you ever thought about when there's a clothing or food drive, you go and you get clothing from Walmart or Marshalls that has never been opened and give it? I had someone in the first service came up to me and they said, Operation, she goes, I went down to Operation Shoebox in Carolina. And you'd be surprised what people put in those Operation Shoeboxes. She says, I opened up one box, you know what was in there? A dirty pair of shoes. Whatever you do to the least of these, you've done them unto me. And the way that we deal with stuff, the stuff we have, as I said before, is we line them up to Scripture. And how do you, why is Scripture so important? Because this is the owner's manual that we use in order to be joyous in this life. I really believe that one of the reasons why our United States is struggling right now the way it is because we've rejected the Bible and we've rejected God. And I'm not talking about financial either. I was at the city council meeting with the abortion thing, and it was just amazing to hear what was being said. It just blew my mind. It's my body. I can do whatever I want. Really? I don't see anywhere where your body is yours. I mean, think about it. You can't put drugs in your body. There are certain drugs you can't put in your body. You put too much alcohol in your body, you're in trouble. Most states, it's illegal to kill yourself. When it comes to your body, it belongs to the Lord as a Christian. And the key is to line up what Scriptures say and how we treat others according to Scriptures. Let me give you an example. Okay. So here we have a vehicle. All right. So let's just say one of our diesel trucks that we have out here, right? Okay. And so it's time to go put gas in the diesel truck. So should I put in my diesel truck, should I put in unleaded, premium, or premium plus? It's fuel. I could tell all of you mechanics in here. How many of you just had a heart attack when I just said that? My brother actually did that. He put the wrong fuel in. He caught it. He like put 1 or 2 gallons of regular in there. And then he goes, oh, what do I do? So he filled up the rest of it with diesel. And he said he was spitting and sputtering until he got a new tank in there. See, the reason why you know what to put in that tank is because that's what the owner's manual said. Okay? How many spark plugs are in a 8-cylinder diesel engine? How many?
Zero.
How many of you knew there's no spark plugs in a diesel engine? Most of you should have known that. Well, I don't know if I know that. But or how about the ignition coil? Where's the ignition coil in the diesel engine? You don't need one. See what I'm saying? And you know that's because what the owner manual said, and that's how it was designed. God designed you special, God designed you unique, and God designed you, and he puts the owner's manual down as his word, and that is what we are to use in order how to treat others and how to live ourselves. How you treat your wife, what does the Bible say? As you treat your husband, what does the Bible say? As you treat your children, what does the Bible say? Because God owns them anyway, and you're just the steward of them. Are you treating your children as that piece of clothing that was donated to Jamaica? Or are you treating them the way God intended to be? Principle number 4. Let go of the possessions and see God work. Many times we don't see God work because we're not willing to let go of the possessions and use it the way God intended. In John chapter 6, Jesus saw this huge crowd of people, and they were hungry. And he says, what are we going to do with and feed all these people? There were 5,000 people there, okay? About half the size of Salina down here. 5,000 people, and he says, how are we going to feed them? And the disciples saw this young boy here. He had 5 barley loaves of bread and 2 fish. They took the barley loaves, they passed them out, and they took the fish, and they passed them out. From those fish, those barley loaves, they were able to feed 5,000 people. And when they got done, the disciples went through and picked up all the leftovers, and there were 12 baskets full of scraps that were there. The kid, because he was willing to give of himself as a steward of the material that he had, he was willing to give it, and he gave it, and he saw God work. Many times we don't see God work because we're not willing to let go of things. Let go of things. Let go and let God. So as we go into this little mini-series of the mini-series of the series, I want us to do something this week. I want us to change our mindset from it belongs to me to it belongs to the Lord. And so we're going to operate with it within the guidelines of what God had intended. We line it up his way. And then we let go and we let God. and let God work. And that's hard. I'm going to be honest, that's hard. Because our insecurity kicks in and we always say, what if? What if? What if that person on the side of the road, when I stop to help them, doesn't say thank you? Or maybe they have a hammer and they're going to come after me. Or what if, what if, what if, what if? Instead of just doing it. Instead of just doing it. See, it's the beginning of a joyous life and joyous generosity. Because let's be honest, it's God's anyway. It's God's anyway. Let's pray. And Lord, we thank you for what you have taught us and shown us. And be with us, O Lord, and help us to give you back the rightful ownership of what you own. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.